hope tonight. Amen. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope.
Yep.
Amen. That's why Paul said, if I had hope in this life only, I'd be of all men most miserable. It would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? This is all we had. But I'm glad for a better day.
Amen.
Saved and know the Lord tonight. We got a better day coming. Is everybody doing good tonight?
Amen.
God's been good to us, hasn't he? I believe this would be right to say it like this. But we're living right now. If you're saved and you know the Lord, you ought to be the happiest person. You ought to be the happiest person on the face of this earth. Because God's blessed us. He's been good to us, been merciful to us. And we could go on all night and talk about the goodness of God, what he's done, how good that he's been. And I'm glad I know him tonight. Thank the Lord. I'm glad it's well with my soul. Amen. We don't have to wonder about that. We can know that. I worry, I really do, and I'm not the judge. I never have been and never will be. I'm not the judge. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people that don't know if it's well with their soul. And but you can know. You meet the Lord and you get saved. You can know. You can have peace in your heart. And you can know that you've been saved. I'm glad that God deals in a no-soul salvation. Amen. Not when we get to heaven, we'll find out. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. We are the sons of God. Right now. Amen. He lives in our heart, and we're saved right now. Amen. Thank God. Well, let's open our Bibles this evening. You've got your Bible. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter number 34. And I'm reading in verse number 1. Read about 7 verses here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 34. Everybody can stand if you'd like to stand tonight. I sure appreciate everybody that's here. Brother Kevin did mention I appreciate my wife and one of my daughters and my grandbaby being here tonight. I sure appreciate that. And I've understood what people have been talking about for a long time. If you could only have the grandbabies first. Amen. That's no offense to my daughter that's here. I love her. But oh, if you could only have them grandbabies first. I'm understanding that now. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And I so appreciate the Lord. That's a blessing from God. It's a blessing from the Lord. And I thank the Lord for, he didn't have to do that. God don't have to do nothing. But I sure do thank the Lord for my family. Glad God give me a good family. And I appreciate God's blessings. The blessings of this life that we can enjoy. And I sure appreciate my family. Thank God. I appreciate your pastor tonight. Can I talk just for a second? Nobody will be offended. I just try to get comfortable and get where the Lord wants me, but I appreciate you, Pastor. I love Brother Kevin, and I appreciate him. I mean that. God's give you a good man here. You better thank God for it. You better do your very best to hold him up, hold up his hands, and stand with him and stand for him. And God's blessing him, and God's honoring this church, and it's such a blessing, such a wonderful thing. God give you a man. So I appreciate him, appreciate his family. He got up the other night and was singing, his kids were singing, "My Hope is in the Blood." And I was watching them boys, and I sure appreciate them. I appreciate them. Amen. Thank God. We don't always understand, but I'm glad God works and God moves. God knows what needs to take place. God knows what needs to happen. I trust him tonight, don't you? Boy, I've been a failure. I'll confess, I've been a failure. I've failed. I've failed from time to time more than I'd like to tell. But I'll tell you, God never fails. He shows us things along the way and speaks to us. And he's just faithful to us. We was reminded last night during the singing of the faithfulness of God. And I'm reminded of it every day. God is faithful. He's faithful to us. I got saved here at Amazing Grace. My wife got saved here at Amazing Grace, not in this building, but when the other building. I get confused sometimes, don't remember exactly where it is, but I think it is. I think I know where it is. And I'd say probably if I got close to where the mourner's bench used to be, I believe I'd know it. I believe I'd know it.
Amen.
I believe if I got close,
amen.
I believe I'd know it.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen. Say, is there virtue and power in that altar? Oh, no. Not in the mourner's bench.
Come on,
but I know where I met him at. When I come in contact with him. When he found me and I got born again and saved. I believe I'd know. And I'll tell you what took place that night. You can remodel this building 150 times. You can make 2,500 sit in it. You can do whatever you want. But you'll never take away what happened to me that night. And I hope it does get bigger. I don't care. It won't bother me a bit. But there'll always be a place in my heart that I know where I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something about salvation. It was so powerful. I was 17. I'm 43 now. And if I live to be 85, I'll still be saved. Say, I don't believe that. You don't have to. I ain't worried about what you believe. I'm telling you what I know. I'll still be saved. Amen. If the rapture ain't took place, I'll still be saved. If the rapture has took place, I'll be in a heavenly country. Either way, I've been saved. Either way, I'll know the Lord. God's done a work in my heart, and I thank God for it. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 34. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 1. The Bible said, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Bethpor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. You can be seated this evening. We read in the scripture tonight about this man Moses. Now this is his closing hours of time, closing minutes, the last of Moses' days upon this earth. He's fixing to die. God's fixing to take him out, fixing to take him. The Bible said he buried him in a sepulcher that no man knows even unto this day. Nobody knows where he's buried at. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Moses is okay. So don't nobody get nervous about that. Matthew chapter 17, he's seen on the mountain of transfiguration with Elijah and Jesus, Peter, James, and John, talking of the resurrection and the future fulfillment of the things of God. Then there is a day that the devil came in the book of Jude, and he said, where's the body of Moses? Michael the archangel stands up and said, don't bring a railing accusation against him, and rebuked him in the Lord. So Moses is okay. What Moses was looking into was not heaven, but it was the promised land. It was the earthly place of blessing that God was given unto the nation of Israel. It's his closing hours here, and the Bible speaks about and lets us know about the life of Moses. So I want to preach about this and notice these things in the Word of God. I want to talk a little bit about the finish line, or how Moses came to a finish, or Moses came to an end. Notice what the scripture tells us. It tells us that Moses was 120 years old when he died. I might say this tonight, that's a pretty good life. He's lived upon this earth for 120 years. That would be a mighty good life. And he's experienced a lot of things in his life. He has went through a lot of things in his day, and something has brought him unto this place. You'd think a man that is 120 years old, being in Moses' shoes, would not be able to do much or to say much. But Moses is still able to walk up that mountain. The Bible said he started out in verse 1. He was in the plains of Moab. And the Lord brought him up from those plains. And I like that now, 120 years old, but he's still going up. And he gets up to the plain from Moab, and he goes up to Nebo. Then he gets up again to the top of Pisgah. And when he gets up there, God shows him the beauty of that promised land. And Moses never quits. I believe that's what the Bible is trying to show us, that he never did stop and he never did quit. He's 120 years old, but he's still progressing. He's still climbing. He's still going with God and going just a little bit further for God. He gets up to this place. And so I noticed this about Moses. For some reason, he's 120 years old, but he's still going. He's still going. And so how did he reach the finish line? Well, he was set up real good when he started out in this life. Now, it's very interesting. I think now I get accused of saying this a lot, but some of my favorite passages of scripture, I mentioned it so much, and I notice about all the scripture is my favorite. Amen. Amen. But what a passage of scripture, if God will help us to get there in this place tonight. But what a beautiful picture as Moses receives his start. He set up from the very beginning. You know what the scripture tells us? We look in the book of Exodus and we'll find that before Moses was ever born, that his mother wanted to keep him, and she really wanted a child. Well, there was a decree that was made, and to kill all of the baby boys, take them down to the river and throw them down into that river. And Moses' mother gave birth to that little boy, and when she had that boy, she saw that he was a goodly child, and she loved that boy, and she looked down upon him, and she really wanted to keep that boy. And so she hid him for 3 months long, and took care of him and nourished him and cherished that little boy. But there came a time that she couldn't hide him no longer, and I imagine he maybe started crying or some things took place. Whatever it was, she realized, I cannot keep this baby any longer. And so she called on God what to do next. And she realizes what she must do. And she takes an ark and she builds a place of safety. And she takes Moses and lays him into that little ark. And she takes him down to that Nile River and places Moses in the water. And she goes back home and she has no idea what's going to take place. I might just say this tonight. I want to say thank God that our parents brought us to the house of God. Thank God and the Lamb forever that God brought me to the house of God. Amen. Moses was set up from the very beginning.
Amen. Well, his mama goes back home, and she don't know what's taking place, but she does go back home. And the Bible said that Pharaoh's daughter got up that day and went down to the river, and she's going to bathe herself. And all of a sudden, something catches her attention, and she sees an ark, and it's laying over there by the bulrushes. And she sees that ark, and she tells her maidens, go out there and get that ark. And she said, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, my attention has been caught, and my attention is drawn to that little ark. And they go out and get that ark, and they get it back over there and open it up. And she looks down and said, that's one of the Hebrew babies. And you know who it was? It was little old Moses. Matter of fact, she named him Moses because his name means drawn out or pulled out of the water. Amen. Well, I like this now. Miriam goes down there. Amen. Hallelujah. And she just wants to say that she loves her little brother. She's probably been praying for days, maybe even years, that she could have a brother. And she goes down to the river, and she looks out in that river, and she sees it all take place. And boy, she's happy. And she comes home, and she said, Mom, amen. Oh, they've got old Moses, amen. We're going to bring him back home. And matter of fact, Mama, I talked to Pharaoh's daughter, and she wants you to nurse him, and they're going to pay you. It just don't get much better than that, does it? I'm going to tell you, he is set up from the very beginning. And let me just say this tonight. God beats the devil every time on any playing field, on any level. He beats him out every time. Pharaoh said, I'll kill the babies. And God said, no, I'll send no Moses. Amen. God beats him every time. Well, he was set up from the very beginning of his life. And then the Bible said, and you'll notice this now, 120 years, and his life is broke up into sections of 40. He has three different sections in the Bible of 40 years. Amen. That's according to the book of Acts. I believe it's chapter number 7. I believe it's verse number 23. And then verse number 30. And then verse number 36. That Moses, well, he had to go down to Pharaoh's house. Now that's pretty amazing to me. Pharaoh said, kill the boys. I'll kill all the babies. And then all of a sudden, here comes the daughter. He said, where'd you get that baby? She said, I drew him out of the water. And daddy, you can't kill him. I want to keep him. His mom got to nurse him. And then when he got done, they sent him to Pharaoh's house. And he lived down there. And he was a mighty man. And he was mighty smart. Well, when he reached his first 40 years, he was set up from the start. Amen. Amen. I mean, God's working and God's moving in Moses' life. And then all of a sudden, he goes out and he sees in the desert. And there's there's a Hebrew and an Egyptian. And they're fighting one another. And it really stirs up Moses. And he goes over there and he takes that Egyptian and he buries him in the sand. Amen. Because he didn't want him hurting his people. He goes out the next day, and all of a sudden, there's two Hebrews out there, and they're arguing. And Moses said, now don't be arguing. He's a mediator now. Don't be arguing. Let's get to some middle ground. And one of them looked at him and said, are you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian yesterday? And Moses knew that he has found out. Amen. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. He was steadfast in his stand. He didn't back down. Amen. Amen. Oh, he stood. He said, you don't need to fight one against another. You know how you can make it to the finish? You got to take a stand and be steadfast. I want to talk about standing upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. Boy, we live in a day to day that's wishy-washy. And I ain't got it all figured out. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm the greatest. I want to tell you, I may not know much, but what I know, I'm going to stand on. I believe you can stand upon the Word of God. It's a firm place that we can stand. Amen. Oh, Moses was steadfast. Yes. And he stood there between them as a mediator. Yes. Amen. Yes. The next thing you know, here come a priest. This is amazing to me. There come a priest from Midian. Yes. And he came down and he's got some daughters with him. And Moses is there. And amen. He's right there with them at the well. And he begins to help them. They go home and say, there's another man come down there and told us not to drink water. But this other man stopped him. And the dad said, who is he? I don't know. Well, he finally meets him. And it's old Moses. Now, his father-in-law, Jethro, that was a priest of the Midianites. Amen. Amen. He was a priest and a shepherd. That's what he'd done for 11. And he knew something about God. They know that about it. He's a priest. That's what he is. Let me say it again. He's a priest. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah. Moses stands there at that well and takes up for them ladies and meets his wife. Next thing you know, he's moved again. Amen. Oh, he's steadfast. Whatever God does in Moses' life, he tries to stay and do what God wants him to do. I'm a hurrying, I'm running along. I'm not to my message just yet, but I promise I'll get there. Amen. All of a sudden, the next chapter, Moses is out there on the backside of the desert. It's amazing to me. Because we didn't know God could do things unless there was a big crowd around. I'm not against crowds. I say praise God. I'm going to tell you some of the sweetest times that I've ever had is when it was me and God and nobody else around. I said, Lord, how are you doing today? And God said, I'm doing good, son. How are you doing? I'd say, Lord, I love you. And God would say, son, I love you. Amen. If you ain't never shouted in private, I think you ought to be quiet in public. Amen. Amen. I believe you can raise your hand. Amen. Thank God. When you're by yourself and worship an almighty God. Amen. Oh, God help us. Well, he's on the backside of the desert, the mountain of God. Good place to be. And even the Mount of Horeb. And he's out there keeping his father-in-law's flock, watching over those sheep. And amen. All of a sudden, there's a bush, and it started burning. It caught on fire. I'll tell you how you can make it to the finish real good. Amen. There's some sights you're going to have to see. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to pull over right here. There's some mighty good things to see in the things of God. Amen. Amen. Now, this is very interesting. Moses is out there in the desert. Now, did you know it's not a strange thing for a bush to catch on fire in the desert? Amen. Because it's dry. And often lightning strikes may hit them tumbleweed or those bushes and they burn. But what was mighty strange about it was burning, but it wasn't consumed. They no doubt about it. Moses had seen some bushes catch on fire before. But he ain't never seen a bush catch on fire and keep on burning. That's what caught his sight. And when that bush caught on fire, amen, that's a fire of God right there. That thing caught on fire. And Moses looked over at that sight. His eyes are starting to be able to see. He's starting to be able to see that somebody is intervening in his life. Reckon how long it'll take some people to wake up and to understand it's not of you and it's not of me, but it's of God. Amen. I wonder how long it'll take some people to understand that. And so Moses sees this bush. It's caught on fire. It's not consumed. And the Bible said that he said within himself, I will turn aside to see. And so he left what he was doing. And he turned aside and he got close to that bush. And the closer he got, the more God understood. He means business. I'm going to show him something. I'm going to let him see some signs. He's going to see something in this place. And so God spoke to him. And he said, Moses, he said, take your shoes off. Ain't that right? Take your shoes off, Moses, because the place that you're standing is holy ground. And that's God's business right there. And Moses understands it is. And so he slips him shoes off. And he goes, starts walking toward that bush. And the more he gets closer, the more God talks to him. Oh, he's seeing some things. Ain't nobody. Matter of fact, nobody else ever seen this. But old Moses seen it. Amen. Amen. And then God begins to speak to him. And God begins to deal with his heart. And he said, Moses, I want you to go down into Egypt and get my people. Amen. Moses said, I can't do that. And he said, yeah, you can. He said, no. Matter of fact, you know, if I go down there, what am I going to say? What in the world am I going to do? How are they going to know that I'm sent of God? What do you want me to tell them, Lord? Who sent me? Who sent me? He said, you tell them I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. You tell them. He said, you tell them I am that I am. Ain't that what he said? He didn't say I was. He said I am. Ain't there ever been a time he wasn't. He's always I am. Amen. He said, you tell them that I am hath sent thee. Amen. Here goes Moses doing what God wants him to do. Amen. I tell you something else he saw. You know what else he saw? He saw one day when they got to the Red Sea, and he saw that there was no way out, and there was no way of deliverance. And the Lord said, stretch forth thy hand and that rod over the water. And amen. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he said, these Egyptians you see today, you'll see them no more forever. And Moses said, all right, Lord, let's see if it'll work. He held out that rod and God opened up that water. That's amazing. I'll tell you something. We're not in Sunday school, but that feels mighty good. Amen. That's absolutely amazing. God rolled back those waters. I like what the old mountain preacher said. He said, them liberals said that it was not possible because that time of the year that the Red Sea was that deep. He said it was ankle deep. Amen. The old preacher shouted it out. He said, glory to God. God drowned all the Egyptians in that much water. And I don't care what they try to do. I'm telling you, God, I performed a miracle. It was God that done it. He done it again. Amen. And here they go. You ever think about how good that miracle is? When they walked across the Red Sea, they walked across on dry ground. That's absolutely impossible. It would have had to have been muddy. There ain't no way. With God, all things are possible. And I got a mind and believe the reason it wasn't muddy is because he didn't want to track their past into the present. Amen. Oh, Moses seen some things, but he wasn't done. He got a little bit later and he said, Lord, show me thy glory. I'm never going to get all this preached. Amen. He said, show me thy glory. He said, Lord, I don't want to go no further until I can see you. I want to see your presence. I want to see your glory. And God said, Moses, I'll show you. Amen. Because he talked to God like a man talked to his friend face to face. He said, God, I want to see your glory. I really want to see you. Lord, I want to see. I want to say this tonight. I'd like to see his glory with me. Amen. I'd like to see his glory. Amen. I don't want nobody to see me. I want you to see his glory. His glory. Amen. Well, Moses had to go up to the top of that mountain. And God said, Moses, I'll show you my glory. But there ain't nobody ever seen my face and lived. Amen. Nobody can. Ain't that right? You reckon it might be possible why God give us the verse of scripture? If my people which are called by my name, if they'll seek my face. Reckon God wants you and me to kill ourselves and get rid of our flesh. Amen. And old Moses got on top of that mountain. And God said, son, I'd like to show you. I'd like to show you my glory. But you can't hold it, Moses. Ain't no way you can contain it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. Amen. There's a place by me. There is a place by me. And if you'll go and stand upon that rock I'll take my hand and cover you, and you can see my hinder parts, but you can't see my face. And old Moses said, all right, Lord. He wanted to see God's glory. He got up on that mountain, and the presence of God passed by. Oh, he only got a glimpse of the glory of God, but it changed his whole vision. It changed everything about him. Moses saw some sights. Amen. He's seen some things in his day. Amen. Which brings us to the passage of Scripture. He is 120 years old, and he's still got his eyes. And the Bible said that his natural force was not abated. You know what that means? He still got his strength. How in the world did Moses make it to the finish line at the end of his life? Because God, amen, God had led him all the way. Amen. Boy, I want to finish strong, don't you? Amen. How can I do it? You got to get settled in your start. You got to start right. You got to start right. Amen. Oh, you got to start right. You got to take a stand steadfastly. And there's things that you got to see. That's why the Bible plainly tells us that God allowed Moses to go up that mountain. And with them same eyes, with them same eyes that he saw the bush, that he saw the Red Sea, and that he saw the provision and the glory of an almighty God. God said, I'll take you up there and I'll show you. Did you notice how many places Moses seen from that top of Pisgah? He seen all the way to the city of palms. Amen. He seen all the way to the other side. He seen all the way to that side. He seen everywhere Moses looked. He had never reached a plain like that. But his eyes, 120 year old, and his eyes are still mighty good. Amen. I want to mention a few things about this now. He is in a physical sense. That's what we're talking about. I want to say this spiritually. In a spiritual form, what was it that Paul said in 2 Corinthians? He said, though the outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And these bodies are breaking down, and our bodies will fail us, but they ought to be something on the inside of us that's just as strong tonight as it was last week, last year, 15 years ago. They ought to be something on the outside of us that's just as strong tonight as it's ever been before. Amen. Oh, we got to see some things. Oh, Moses still had his strength. Boy, I want my strength, don't you, all the way to the end. I sure am mighty weak. I sure am mighty weak. And you sure are mighty weak in your flesh. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad there's strength in the Lord tonight. Amen. I like it, don't you? And I can't go in my own strength. And I can't make it in my own strength. But there's a strength that God gives us every day. And to pick us up and say, go on. Keep on going. Amen. I'll mention a few things here. I want to mention a few things that God will allow us to see to keep us strong as believers. Now, Moses was in this place, and he was seeing the promises of God fulfilled. That's the same promise that God had made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, I'll bless you, and this is your land. That's the same promises. That's it. Promise is still in effect. I'm glad the Word of God never fails. Amen. Amen. The Word of God never fails. The promises that God made from the beginning will be carried out through all of eternity, and they'll never fail. And if God said it, you can take her to the bank. Amen. What about them promises that he saw? What about spiritual promises that you and me from the Bible can see? As the Lord said, I will never leave thee. And I will never forsake thee. That's a promise. Amen. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen. Wherefore is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Oh, wonderful. The promises of God. I like to see the promises of God. Amen. What about those answered prayers that God has done? Brother Downer, that God has done for his people.
Hey.
I might say this tonight, and I want to help you. I want the Holy Ghost so bad to take this to your heart and to help you so you'll never, ever forget it. I hope he takes it to your heart. But prayer is such a powerful thing. Just connecting with God through prayer can change somebody's eternity. That's mighty powerful. Amen. Amen. I know, Brother Kevin, you called or we was talking and you mentioned to me, I don't even know how long ago it's been, but you mentioned to me, you said, my son said he got saved, Brother York. And ain't no doubt, Brother Josh, ain't no doubt that he prayed. That he prayed and asked God to help him. And ain't no doubt people in this church prayed. And sometime in passing, you'd say, Lord, I want you to help him. I want you to help him. I prayed for him. I have prayed for things and yet to see them come to pass. But I have such confidence in prayer. I'm never going to quit asking God. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us to not, amen, to not give up in prayer. That widow never quit. She come every day. And because of her continuation, the man finally said, here you go. I'm done. Reckon we could bother God enough till God said, I believe I'll do it. So I can get the glory. Amen. I'm going to say this in the Holy Ghost. I have prayed for things. I've yet to see them come to pass. But I'm still praying. Amen. And when he does it, I'll doubtless come rejoicing. Amen. I'm way off. I'm way off where I started. But I'm still in line. Amen. I shall doubtless come rejoicing and bringing the sheaves. I find God. He can answer prayer. Amen. How many people in here tonight saved and born again? There's a big possibility you're an answer to prayer. Amen. Some old saint of God. That's some old saint. That's full of the power of God. They said, I don't want them to die lost. And God got on your trail. And God hemmed you up. And God got where you was. Amen. And you could finally say, I can't do it no more. Yes, Lord. Oh, the answer of prayer, the answer of prayer. And one man said it like this, and I'd say it's right. God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait. But whatever he says, as long as he answers, I'll have assurance. If I think I need it and I pray, and God said no, I cannot do that, then I ought to be satisfied and say whatever the will of God is, that whatever God's will is, I'll trust it. Amen. Oh, God, help us to see some things. I have prayed and you have prayed. Amen. I believe it works. Don't you believe it works? I know there's been some that's been sick. And people have prayed.
Yes, sir.
God moved.
Hey.
There's people now, you know, Brother Danny, they don't hardly believe that God can answer a prayer like that.
You're right.
Amen. Don't pray for me.
Right,
I'm like the old man that was praying for rain. And he got to church and the vehicles out in the parking lot had their windows down. And when he got into church, he said, you may want to go out and roll up them windows. He said, I've heard from God. And it ain't going to be long. And by the time he got done praying, it poured the rain. Everybody ran out. And when the man left the church, he popped up his umbrella. And said, God still answers prayer. God God still answers
prayer.
God still answers prayer. Sometimes it takes a while, but God still answers prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can see prayers answered. We can see promises. We can see promises that God has given to us. Amen. Oh, thank God.
Amen. Yes. Good preaching. Amen.
Somewhere along in Moses' life, he walks up to this mountain, 120-year-old, first 40 of his life, the second, the last 40, the trouble, the trying in the wilderness. Now he's seeing the things of God. He's seeing some things that God has put in his heart. And he's seeing some things that God has done for him all through his life. And somewhere in Moses' heart, and somewhere in the mind of Moses, he's finally figured it out. You know what he's figured out? Listen to me. Is everybody hearing me good right here? This is what old Moses has figured out. It's been well worth it. It's been well worth it. Great verse, Hebrews 11. Great verse. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now I'm going to show you now, scripturally, this is where that took place. Was over there at that well, one of them and called him and looked at Moses and called him an Egyptian. Now you get your King James Bible and look at it tonight before you go to bed. One of them thought he was an Egyptian. And the reasoning was because he was so studied and so well learned in Egypt. And when they got down there and they called him an Egyptian, he said, oh no. Now this is my belief, and you can believe it if you want to, but I believe that's why he took his shoes off, because they came from Egypt.
Yes, sir.
Down at the king's house. God said, I'd like to use you, but you're going to have to let me give you some shoes. And he gave him some, and he never wore out.
You're right.
Hey.
So somewhere there, something took place. He finally seen it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was worth it. He gets up top of this mountain, it's worth it. And at that time, at the well, he finally realized he refused to be called the son. He said, I'm not Pharaoh. No. Don't call me that. My mama, she ain't from Egypt. My daddy, he's not, no. We're Jews. We're not Egyptians. We don't belong down there. Oh, I wish some saved people would realize that. We don't belong down here. You go wherever you want to go. If you're saved, you won't fit in. They may like you for a while till they find out about you. Then they'll hate you just like they hated him. You can't get along with nobody unless they're heading the same direction as you. Can't be friends with them. Oh, don't try. They don't sense in trying to fit. This is my crowd right here, ain't you? My crowd's them old blood bought and born again crowd. Moses said, I'm refusing to be called. Don't call me that. And he looked back at Egypt and seen the treasures. And then he looked yonder somehow.
Yes.
He looked further. And he seen the riches of Christ.
That's right.
And this is what he said.
Yep.
He went over here.
He said,
Pharaoh's rich. And I can live down at the palace. And I can be down there. I can have food. I can have clothes. I can get brand new everything. Or I can walk by faith, be ridiculed, have faults, have failures, have problems in my life, but see God.
Yeah.
And then he went over here and said, this over here is pretty heavy. Then he went over here and said, this is heavier. And then he went over here and he said, this is rich.
Yeah, brother. Yeah,
and about the same time he turned around, he said, whoa.
Yeah,
I don't just see down here no
That's
more.
That's right.
He was looking farther.
Right.
Seeing farther.
Yes.
Seeing farther than the wilderness of
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He was seeing God and seeing the things of God. He said, I'd rather go with God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. It's been worth it thus far. Well, Jackie, people say it's a hard way. It shouldn't be. It's a good way. It's a good way. Sometimes it's long and rough, but it's a good way. Moses, same things. I feel very, very impressed to say this, and you listen to me. Especially young folks tonight, listen to me. You'll realize one day it's been worth it. The older you get, the more it just kind of seems to make sense.
Yep. You're right.
And you're like, that was it. That was it.
Amen.
That was it. They told me right. They told me the truth. They didn't even hate me. They just knew better than I knew. It's worth it. So Moses is 120 years old. He's still got his eyes. Still can see. He still can hear God speaking to him. He can still climb. He's got his feet. He's still walking. He's still working. He's still doing everything he can do. And he's 120. He's jumping all over that mountain, going everywhere. In a natural body. Now, our natural bodies are going to slow down. The old preacher, Brother J.B. Smith, he told me this. He's 88, 89 year old, a member of my church, preacher. Good man, straight. If you ever heard of Oliver B. Green, then you've heard Brother J.B. Smith. I mean, that's like hand in hand. His mind's bad. He can't preach much anymore. I got preaching one night in a big way, and he got happy, and I seen him crying. And at the end of church, he shook my hand. He said, Pastor, keep telling us like it is. I said, I'm doing my best, Brother J.B. He said, you know, I can't do it like that anymore. But in here I am. He said, in here I am. Every time I try to stand, he said, in here. It's just like when I was 20. Still got my strength. You know, God don't ever put you on the sideline. You got something inwardly. You got strength. Let's stand. I'm through. Let's stand. I'm done. Natural force not abated. 120 years. Lived a good life. Got to see things, hear things. Saw the mighty hand of God. I'm glad the Lord's let me see a few things. And I've seen enough of what God has done and what God will do on a personal level. It's got me searching, seeking, and asking for more. Say, God, I'd like to see that. Lord, I'd like to experience that. Lord, there's things I would love to see you do. Not for my glory, but God, just for your glory. I want to see the Lord work. I want to see him move. I want to see him do stuff. Don't you ever get discouraged. Don't ever get discouraged. God's done enough for us already. We should never get discouraged. Just keep on doing what God wants us to do. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being good to us. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of standing in this place. And Lord, I've preached my heart tonight and tried to do what I felt that you wanted me to do. And Lord, I'll stand before you one day and give an account. And I've tried to do my very best, and I thank you for helping me. Lord, if there's been any mistake, it's been on my part. I know that you don't fail or don't make mistakes. But I trust you, Lord. Lord, that you'd take the things and put it in the hearts of your people. Lord, that we'd never forget it. Not that I've said it, but somehow the Holy Ghost would take things to our heart and help us days, weeks, and years down the road. Speak to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.